know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to the End Zone Club, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in potential to fulfilling your purpose and introducing our host, Anthony Mitchell.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Anthony Mitchell. Just wanted to say that we have some company today, meaning I got a special guest who's going to keep it hot, flavorful. But before I introduce him, I do have to say, whatever platform you were streaming this podcast from, please give us a like, a share, a rate, a subscription. Help us to get this content out to the four corners of the world. But before we do so, we got to hear from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
This is an extreme transparent moment for me. I am working out after I had my last baby. Just in a few short weeks, baby will turn one. It took 9 months to create her and nurture her in my body, and it's taken almost 1 year to get back in my ideal shape. So come along with me on this journey as I return to healthy, wealthy, and wise.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the End Zone Club, where, as always, we have conversations wrapped around things we know now we wish we knew when we were younger. Last week, I promised you guys that I would have a special guest in the studio with me today, and boy, do we have a good one. Mr. Raymond Harris, if you don't mind, step to the mic, please.
Let's go. What's up, man? Good to see you.
Listen. To do your introduction justice, I am going to ask you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Cool, man. Raymond Harris, former NFL player, former college football player with the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Played in the league 6 years. After my playing career, I went on to do radio, TV broadcasting. I did mortgages for J.P. Morgan Chase, and then I also worked at my alma mater at Ohio State as the director of development, doing major gift fundraising for the last 15 years.
Wow.
So recently, let's say 7 months ago, I decided to retire from OSU and start my own elite mindset coaching, consulting, public speaking business. I just started a brand new nonprofit. I just started an agency. For other professional speakers. So, man, I got a lot going on right now, as you can imagine.
I love it. And honestly, you gave me a lot to unpack for today's episode. So I'm just going to start right here. Because I am old enough to have seen your journey as both athlete and now as entrepreneur go the way that God intended, I want to draw today from both wells of your experience. So right off the bat,
yeah.
I noticed that a lot of your friends that know you personally don't call you Raymond. They call you Storm. What's the story behind that?
Hey, that goes all the way back to high school. One of my really good friends, man, RIP, Larry Darnell Gage, Big Gage, he called me Quiet Storm. So back when where we grew up, me and my guys, we like to affectionately call it being raised by wolves. We were crazy and we were wild. There's a lot of super competitive. When you don't have a lot, you invest a lot in posturing and making the next man feel bad and snapping jokes and just really trying to be the man. That was the thing that I stayed away from. I wanted my actions and I wanted my skills and talents to really speak for me. So while dudes were talking that talk, I didn't say anything, but I would beat them every time. And then after I beat them, I just looked at him like, yeah. My guy said, hey, you know what? That's that quiet storm kind of stuff right there. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, man, from that point on, it stayed with me in high school, all through college. Friends still call me that. Yeah, man, that's my moniker right there.
I like it. I like it. You know, shout out to the area you're from. I got a lot of family in the Akron, Cleveland, Ohio area. So shout out to you. But I do want to know from a personal experience, is it as tough in that area growing up as I've heard a lot of people talk about?
It is, man. I think, you know, it's all relative. I'm sure I don't try to diminish where anyone else is from. But when you grow up in like the Rust Belt, I grew up in Lorain, which is a small steel city right on the lake, right, I'll say maybe 30 miles west of Cleveland, right on the lake, on Lake Erie. Mm. And it's a tough place to grow up, man. It's blue collar. It's hardworking, hard nosed. And it's the kind of place where, like, if you are born there, you stay there. So it's not a lot of, like, upwardly mobile and, you know, lots of options other than working in a steel mill or working in an auto plant. So, yeah, it's a really tough environment. But as I look back at it, man, I'm so thankful and grateful to have come from there, because that's where my hard work comes from. That's where when it comes to, like, the amount of, like, energy and effort that I put into, like, to get things done, it comes from, like, Lorain. It comes from those grassroots. So my pops was like that. It wasn't a place that was like where people are entrepreneurial and own a whole bunch of businesses. And no, you work hard, you work your ass off, and you save your money. And that's who I've always been until recently. So yeah, it's been it's not easy, but it's gratifying.
No, and I can dig it, because I'm in the Memphis area and it's the same setup. I mean, Memphis is known. I mean, if you have thin skin, you can't come to Memphis, because those guys will run you out of the park. But that's why, like, even here, what my wife and I do every year, we host a free football camp, and we're faced with the same options. We're trying to present to these kids other options outside of what you see. We're in the furniture market. We're in the FedEx market. That's what you get. I mean, right to the right, we have U.S. pipe, steel, and those industries. So I understand too well. But hey, we're going to come back to this point, because there's a little more meat on that bones I want to bring off. But here in the South, football reigns supreme. Matter of fact, most of the states are known by their rivalries. Like, we have the Iron Bowl. We have Alabama versus LSU. LSU guy. Egg Bowl. You were also part of that tradition with Ohio State and Michigan. I want to hear from an insider's perspective what that was like coming from Cleveland.
Oh, my man. I'm biased. I believe that it's the greatest rivalry.
Of course.
Not just college football, all sports.
Okay.
I heard about the Yankees and Boston Red Sox and the Iron Bowl and all of this, and Lakers and Celtics. I know all about that. But Ohio State, Michigan is just something that is deep. It's all the way back to the history of Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes. And it's just the kind of thing, like, we have cities in Ohio that when you are born, you are giving Ohio State blankets. You have a Buckeye, one of the little hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how important it is here. And that's how much it matters. While I was coming up in Cleveland, though, which is kind of, it's very interesting. Cleveland is almost equidistant to getting to Ann Arbor and getting down to Columbus. So as I grew up, I was just a huge fan of football. So I didn't just love Ohio State more than I love Michigan. To be honest, I actually, you know, committed to going to Michigan first until changing my mind.
Gotcha.
3 weeks later. But again, the rivalry the people that are involved in it, we are very proud of it. We understand, like, how important it is, the historical factors of it. And it's one of those things that now that Michigan has won the game the last 2 years, yeah, it seems like the rivalry is back on.
I do have to I want to fast forward this conversation, because you have so many parts of your life I think our kids can draw from. But after your Ohio State career came to an end, you were drafted by the Chicago Bears. Do you remember your welcome to the NFL moment?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, my guy. Well, first of all, I got drafted in the fourth round. I was projected to go earlier, so I was already a little irritated, angry that that was my that's the way it started. But it gave me a chip on my shoulder. Got to Chicago, and immediately the first thing they do is they tell me, we don't need you at running back. We want you to play fullback. So I'm like, okay, I've looked at the roster, and I'm thinking I'm better than these other guys. But I had learned so much from my experience at Ohio State. I welcomed it. I embraced it. I learned how to run block. I learned how to catch the ball out the backfield, pass block. And by the middle of the year, I became probably the most valuable running back on that team in terms of like being able to run the ball, pass, you know, pass blocking, pass receptions, end up being the rookie of the year and MVP of the team multiple times. The welcome to the NFL moment for me was we're playing in training camp, going against the Cleveland Browns, and good old Pepper Johnson, former Buckeye, he's number 52. He had won multiple Super Bowls already with the Giants.
Okay.
He's manning the middle for the Browns. Him and Carl Banks is on the outside.
Ooh.
Hey, I see you, young. I see you, young buck. for the rest of the next 2 days, they beat the
right.
I'm trying to run block this dude who's like, he's seasoned. He's a veteran, of course. He's 6'2", 6'3". He's probably, you know, 50 pounds heavier than me. And I'm trying to, like hold my own against Pepper Johnson. And, of course, as you can imagine, he was just ragdogging me, throwing me all around. But I learned a lot from that.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I like it. So I got to pause for a minute because something you just mentioned, as a father of athletes, we try to talk to our kids about being adaptable to circumstance. Now, coming from where you come from, obviously you could play the game as a running back. I mean, I remember seeing you just about run guys over and knock faces off.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you develop that mindset though, to be fluid like that? That whatever life is throwing at you, I'm going to run with it.
You know what? Like real talk, my guy. Like I think that also comes. It stems from that upbringing in Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have a lot, you have to be open to like trying to do different things. And when you're used to either kind of being let down or things not necessarily working out your way, some people respond one way, and that's they give up and they start pouting and sulking and turning into a victim. That was never my mentality. I was like, I'm gonna try another way. And when you try another way, you become adaptable, you become more resilient. And that's what like Lorraine like instilled in me. So when I got to Ohio State, I had a bunch of like success. And I want to say my third year, they tried to turn me into a fullback because we had mad running backs already. And I was like, yeah, nah, I was super resistant. I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. That's stupid. I ain't blocking for anybody. I'm better than these other guys. And consequently, I had the worst season of my career when I acted that way. So forward 2 years later, I continue to be adaptable and resilient, make my way through Ohio State, get drafted by the Bears. As soon as I get there, we want you to be fullback. The last time that happened, I responded one way and had the worst outcome. This way, this time I'm gonna change it up. And when I change it up, man, it was the best move for me because not only did it allow me to learn so much more about myself, but man, I ended up being like a better ultra back than I ever was as a running back.
So as a 49er fan, I got a chance to see a lot of you guys in the NFC. And I know, I mean, I saw you through Chicago all the way through Green Bay. And I'm like, man, we can't get this guy out of the division. Hey, so Exactly. And, you know, at that time, Green Bay had the 49ers name. So when you came over, it's just like, man, I don't know what they were doing over there, but they kept good backs. But, hey, I do want to do this. I want to dig a little deeper into some points you made earlier about the origin of your nickname. I feel like God aligns our life's purposes with our own experiences. Like those who were meant to help others, they first encounter victories themselves. How did your earlier challenges prepare you to become a mentor to other men like you have now?
Well, honestly, man, I think when you come up in a space, in an area where it's tough and it's hard, there are multiple ways to kind of look at something. So I've seen enough people that have responded in ways that felt more it was counterproductive when they were complaining and pointing a finger, and like I said before, being more of a victim. But it's like my life changed when I got a chance to encounter some people that not only were able to shoot the reel with me, but actually supported me and encouraged me and let me know that I was actually bigger than the circumstances I was already in. So when that happened, and I realized, like, in retrospect, like, it's really who I've always been in my entire life. There are some people that have personality types where they're always the big brother and the captain and the leader, and someone's coming to, like, check on you. Let me get your advice or your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since I've been in high school to college to the league to post-career, post-NFL, it's always been my space. And as soon as I figured that all out, man, I was able to lean into it and realize that the jobs that I had been involved in, like raising money for my alma mater, I love that place. This is where I became a man. But I was bringing my skills and talents for this company or organization to be able to raise money for a new tennis facility, when I could actually raise that same money for something that I care so much more about. So once I realized the strength in me and played off of the, my skill set from over all those years, that's when it all clicked.
I like it. And I know, so I'm a military guy. I'm still in the Air Force.
Okay.
You keep throwing out certain buzzwords that, of course, I'm locked in with you. You kept talking about resiliency. You kept talking about not being a victim. I think that's a conversation we have to have more with athletes, with people, with young individuals, because we get a lot of young men in that have no resiliency. They have no intestinal fortitude. It's like they've never been tried and tested on that level you were talking about. So I'm listening and I'm loving it, because I want to segue just a little bit, because a lot of men are fighting a quiet storm within themselves. Meaning that a lot of times, as you were talking about the analogy of the big brother, the different roles people play, I have seen, especially from the role of a soldier, and you've probably seen it as an athlete, like a lot of men don't really know who to talk to when they need someone to talk to or how to address these issues. Was there ever a point in time as an athlete where maybe you're on the big stage, you're running, you're doing the things that you're doing, but you're still dealing with your own quiet storm and having to work your way through some of these issues?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I had to work my way through issues like my entire life. When you're raised in a space where it's tough, and you grew up in poverty, and unfortunately, like, my mother died giving birth to me. So, So my father was left as a single father.
Wow.
33 years old, he lost the love of life, man. And he had to raise a 12-year-old son, a 9-year-old daughter, and an infant. So as you could imagine, like, life was tough. We didn't have any therapy or grief counseling or any of the services. We just did what we could do to kind of survive. And when you grow up with that type of mentality, it's hard and it's difficult. And as Black men, especially, we were never given like a space to be vulnerable and
not at all
sad or I'm anxious or I'm nervous about things. I'm afraid. You can't say or do any of that. You just suck it up and you work through it and you push through it. And as helpful as that can be, like, in the short term, it could also be detrimental in the long term. And what I learned is that once I got a chance to get like some professional services and really truly get in touch with who I really am and admit that I'm not a superhero, I'm not a robot or a machine, that I'm like a human being.
Thank you.
I'm a human being, my guy. And I am fully realized as a human being. Once you're able to do that, that's the true power and the true strength. So once I got my real strength, I was able to feel like, I love this feeling. I'm going to spread this on to any and everybody else that I can. That's how EMP started.
And honestly, I can relate to that story because my father lost his mother at 7. And just to hear how that affected the trajectory of their family, unfortunately, they couldn't keep everybody together. Thankfully, they had supportive family that, you know, a couple went here, a couple went there. But seeing how that father and mother provide a yin and yang, that sometimes when you're missing one, you can be tough in one area, but missing something in another area. So I that's a story I can relate to all wholeheartedly. So as me being a husband and a father, it's something I wanted from the time I even had, before I even had kids. I wanted to make sure my kids had what I didn't have. You know, I didn't have grandparents growing up, and that was something whoever I married, I wanted them to have that piece of the puzzle. As a father, I know you're a father as well, and I see the wonderful things your daughter is doing. What was that one thing for her you wanted her to get that you didn't have?
Well, honestly, man, like I think it's pretty common for parents to always want better for their kids. And I truly believe that my grandparents provided like a better experience for my father, and my great grandparents provided a better experience for my grandparents. But, you know, my people, man, we come from a really difficult background, obviously. And my pops, he was raised in the rural South. He was raised in Arkansas during Jim Crow laws and segregation and extreme poverty. And he worked to make sure that his family was in a better financial situation than he ever was. And so what I truly wanted to pass down to my kids was the financial part was definitely something I wanted to pass on. I wanted to allow them to have the opportunity to have options, because I truly believe options and alternatives are some of the most valuable things you can have. But more recently, I've realized that the thing that I really want to pass down is not generational wealth, but I want to pass down generational health. And I want my kids to understand that, yo, you don't have to know everything. You can be afraid, and you can be sad, and you can ask for help, and it doesn't make you weak or any less of a person, because your family, that's a real thing for any and everybody else that's alive. So you can even take the lead from your father. You know, that you guys look at me as this big, strong guy who's done all these wonderful things, but so much of my life I suffered, and so much of my life I felt unworthy and guilty and sad. And fortunately for me, the work part manifested in like some really good things, but personally and inside, I wasn't truly developed as an emotional being, and I want better for you guys. I think once you get real like that with your kids, man, it allows so much more growth for everybody.
And I'll be honest, I'm listening to you, and I'm loving what you're saying, because it's not very often that you find men that can be transparent in a way and reflective from their experiences, that somebody that's in that same boat as a father, as a husband, as a youth pastor, and all these things, where, again, like you're saying, as a soldier, people look at you as always being strong. If I'm in uniform and I'm out eating, people say, hey, we thank you for your service. Can I buy your meal? All of these things. But behind that, there is so many other things that men carry, whether it's depression, whether, like you're saying, feelings of unworthiness. We need to have these honest conversations. So I do want to say, I feel like you have a tremendous gift to share with the world, and I thank you for what you're sharing. And I also thank you for what you're doing, as you are individually tailoring programs that are empowering men to be who they are. But I would be untrue to this platform if I didn't pull up a chair and invite a young Raymond, a young Anthony, and men that are like us, and ask you the question I got to get out of all of my guests. You got your seatbelt on? Are you ready to go, sir?
Let's go. Let's go.
All right. So the final question I like to always ask my guests is like, if man were to be successful and to create a time machine, and you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what's one thing you know now that you would not only tell your younger self, but other young men that look like you?
Well, honestly, man, I appreciate that question, and I appreciate this space to be able to share. It would go right along the lines of everything that we just got done talking, man.
Gotcha.
When you're a little guy and you're a man, and you have so many questions and you don't necessarily know like what's right, what's wrong, and you don't know whether or not you doubt yourself because unfortunately we have like imposter syndrome nowadays, because you grow up in environments where like you don't necessarily see like these role models that will be able to kind of provide like that, you know, that dream that you want and you wish that you could have. And with that, being real, it sometimes looks and sounds like, hey, asking for help. Sometimes being real looks and sounds like admitting that you're afraid and you're sad and you're scared. And when you do that, it allows you to really like recognize like this other amazing part of yourself, which is so real that allows everyone else to be able to connect with you in a way that becomes way more satisfying and fortifying. So me as this Raymond today's quiet storm would drop down to a younger me and say, my man, it's gonna get better. It's so I understand that you're not a Superman, but you don't have to be. You can be sad, you can cry. It's okay for men to cry. You can cry. You can be afraid, and there's strength in that. And from there, it's gonna help you to be okay with that, being in that space, and that's gonna allow you to then start finding like the alternatives and the options to be able to get over and past it. Because once we get past it, oh man, your future is gonna be so bright. That's what I would tell my guy. That's what I would tell me.
Hell, listen, I got to say, thank you for stopping by the platform today. I know you're a constant man on the move, so we value your time and space. But just do know you have an open invite. If you ever want to come to the South and you want to talk to a group of kids or a group of men, we can make it happen for you. So link up with me, man. I mean, I love what you're doing. I don't want this to be the last time we talk. But I will say, for those that are listening to this episode, they're going to want to know how they can link up with you and support what you've got going. How and where can they find you?
You can always catch me on my website. It's www.raymontharris.com. That's R-A-Y-M-O-N-T Harris. And the best way to really catch me is hopping on Instagram. Go to IG. My name is Raymont_Harris. I got the blue checks. So it should be easy to find me. And give me a follow.
Verified.
Give me a follow, and then you could also get a chance to see some of the videos, some of the content, some of the places and people that we're helping. And it'd be a great way to be able to get in contact with me if you were interested in having those services as well.
Well, guys, you've heard it here first. Mr. Raymont Harris has come in here with a size 23 shoe and walked all through the building. With that said, I guess I'm going to root for Ohio State this year when y'all play Michigan. But, man, I thank you for stopping by, for dropping wisdom again. Let's link up because I just feel some synergy I'd like to get you included on. So until next episode, you've heard it here first. This is the End Zone Club. Be blessed.
Hello, everyone. This is Andre Truitt, representative for Just Gifted Clothing Brand. If you have individual talent of any kind, we are talking to you. Join this clothing brand that has built a community of people that encourages others to use their gifts and talents. Man, we are the fastest growing brand that you haven't heard of yet. To find out what we're really about, just go to justgiftedclothingbrand.com. Let me spell that out for you. JUSGIFTED clothingbrand.com. One more time for you. JUSGIFTED clothingbrand.com. Talent in any way, you're just gifted.